Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Thank God for this evening. Thank God for this platform that Elder Oliver has provided. Appreciate you, sir. May God continue to bless you with other platforms. Father God, I want to thank you, first of all, for waking us up this morning, keeping us in our right mind, having our mind stayed on thee, that you have made it possible for even this day to even happen that we're living in now, that you created years ago in 6 days, and you got your rest. So there's a rest even to us on the seventh day to even thank God for all the things he have done up until this point. So tonight, I will scarcely be on, if I can be on at all. My wife and my kids are on. I think they got something going on that's heated, something that's true, something that may be even contested. And as they're adults right now, they may even have something to say to how they grew up. But I think it's, I don't even know the subject. But I'll let my wife do that. But again, thank you, Elder Oliver, for this platform that you do provide to others also. And may God, again, continue to bless you with several platforms that people may know about the Word of God, who Jesus is, and what they need to believe in, having faith with this grace that God has provided us with because we have faith. So I will now turn it over to my precious wife, and she will take it from there.
Well, good morning. Before I give my topics, I just want to read the scripture, Proverbs 22, verse 6. And all my kids should know this scripture by heart. Let me just read it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Well, I changed the subject on the night simply because, my granddaughter got saved last night at 10:13, and I changed the topic around 6:45 tonight. The topic is a false sense of hope. And it's just, the kids started school yesterday, and I really want my grandkids to get on tonight, just things and the temptations and the false sense of hope this world is giving all of our kids and where they are in their lives right now and how being raised by two saved grandparents, how did it affect them growing up, how they can encourage somebody that started school, and how knowing the word or being in church help them get to where they are right now? Because they're in the, can you turn your thing down, sir, please? How being in church and being under or having a firm foundation, I should put it, a firm foundation in Christ, how do they think their lives would have turned out, or any way they want to take it? I want them to really talk about what's going on in today's time, you know, time, and how they can encourage somebody that's in school now from the experience that they've had. And the topic is going to be a false sense of hope. Or we don't even have to have a topic. I just want them to talk about, or even my kids, to talk about what they can, that looks good, what advice they can give, or if they want to talk about an experience they went through and how they came out of the experience. Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's talk. Is Jada on right now? I want to start with her first because she got saved last night. She's 12. And she, I talked to her mom today, and her mom said that she had been talking about getting saved or getting baptized a couple of weeks ago. And it just so happened that we're doing a baptism this weekend that she knew nothing about. Is Jada on?
Well, I'm right here.
How are you, sweetie?
Good, you?
I am wonderful. Look, quick question. Let me ask you this first. The conversation that you had with your parents a couple of weeks ago about getting saved or baptized, what brought about the conversation?
I told them that I wanted to get saved because I wanted to be a better person and be more connected with God, because just believing in God, because I see my family members, like you, for instance, just you have so many blessings. It's not just about blessings. It's just about just how God is good and stuff like that. And I wanted to be saved because I wanted to be, like, I want to be more elevated, but I want that journey to be with God and stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, good answer. Do you have any experiences that you went through that, you know, that you want to share on tonight? When you say a better person, were there some bad choices that you made? You don't have to talk about them if you don't want to, but. Okay.
It was mostly my problems were in school and the people I hung around. And I'm not going to get into like full detail, but, like, I chose bad choices knowing that they were bad, but just trying to fit in and just being somebody that I'm not and being somebody that God didn't put me on this earth to do and stuff like that. So what made me want to change, you, Papa, like, just everybody, my parents, just seeing, because them people at school, they, like, they not important and stuff, and I felt like I just want to make y'all proud, and that is not the way to go, and I just wanted to choose a different route, because I have more blessings if I just do what I'm supposed to do. And, yeah.
Amen. Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Is DJ on?
Ma'am.
This is my 16-year-old grandson. That's Mr. Donnie Thomas, a.k.a. DJ. Did you want to say anything, DJ?
No, ma'am.
Were you getting baptized on Sunday as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what made you want to turn the leaf or go down in the water on Sunday?
It was really because my brother and my grandma. Well,
okay, but
how,
you on the radio, but they don't know about your brother and your grandma. Can you expound on it a little bit?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so me and my grandma had a talk a while back. This was like, she'll basically tell me if I don't do better or do right, I can go to heaven and see my brother. Like, because she knows that I love him a lot. Basically, she was trying to just help me be a better person. So, yeah.
And this is what, 3 years ago?
Yes, ma'am.
So what made you want to decide, like, now? Did anything happen, you know, to make you just say, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and get baptized? Or you just decided?
Nothing happened. I just decided just, why not just now instead of later?
Amen. Okay. Well, for those who don't know, we lost a grandson. He was 12. He would have been 17 years old. And DJ was with him when he passed. And they were all very close. It was three of them. We called them the three amigos. And all of them was really close. And it really took a toll on him. And he was going down the wrong path after that happened. And he just kept getting in trouble. And I'm glad and I'm so proud. And that's why it's so important, saying that the kids are not going to stray and not going to do anything bad, but they're going to remember the foundation. They're going to remember the words that you spoke into them. And what are we, I may be the hardest person or parent out here, and my kids, and I know I'm hard on them. But I'm hard on them for a reason. But I also come back on the back end and encourage them. And they know that foundation. I'm their example. I've been the example since before they were born. So I instilled, me and my husband instilled that God-fearing in them. And they've seen me. As a matter of fact, Jada witnessed me on the streets Friday. You know, stop some boys in their tracks, a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old throwing rocks at an old man, leading them to Christ. Okay, so it's not behind the walls. We walk this thing every day, and my kids and my grandkids see. I will stop in the middle of the street, and I will pray for anybody. Sell water on the side of the road, praying for them right then and there. So they have the foundation. I encourage the parents, yes, our kids are going to go, you know, do things just like everybody else's kids. Just because we're saved don't mean that our kids are not going to make bad choices. They're kids. They want to fit in. They want, but we have to give them something more to look forward to. We have to do that as parents. We have to give them something to look forward to. We have to live the life in front of them. So they can want Christ. A lot of kids don't want Christ because you have to take off this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. The things that I tell my kids what they can't do is because I say makeup and straightening your hair because you don't need it. Give them a reason why they can't. And my kids said I was bad with not telling them why they couldn't do things. Some things I'm not going to explain, but some things I will. But some things are going to come in time. You will find out why I say it. But we, the point, the bottom line is the foundation. What foundation do your kids have to fall back on? Jesus Christ is our foundation. And they'll always go back to it. I don't care how far they go. They'll always come back to what Gigi said. And that's the word of God. Anybody else have something to say? Vanessa, Asha, is Steffi on?
I'm on, but I'm just listening. I don't really have nothing to say. You didn't ask me nothing. I don't know.
No, I mean, what, have you been through anything and it, you came back to your senses and, you know, this is wrong. Let me just go do what my mama said, even with your makeup and hair. Even with makeup and hair. You,
I can say something. I can say something about that.
Go ahead. Asha, that's baby girl.
Hey, y'all. It's Asha the Dime. So I remember one time. Ooh, still, like, it's fresh in my mind. So I would go to school. Like, I'm always fashionable. I always have to look good, right? So this is in middle school, I think. Middle school. I used to bring some clothes in my book bag and change on it because I sat at the back of the bus. I would change the back of my in the bus and have my best friend like cover me. And I was just thinking about my mom the whole time. Like, what if my mom found out? What if she knew what I was wearing? You know what I'm saying? Tell me why. Some way, somehow, the bus driver saw me. She called my mom without me telling me. It's like, okay. Probably the next day, next week, my mama made me wear some baggy Walmart sweats, and it was hot outside. And I still changed that, too, but that's not the point.
Okay. I have eyes everywhere, even if they're not mine. But what did you learn from it? What did you get from it? Did
just
you learn
because,
anything? Oh no.
Yeah, just because I think I'm being slick, darkness gonna come to light regardless. No matter where you are, no matter like how think you good no matter how good you think you being slick. I'm thinking me and my best friend, like, we got this. Like, we in C-12. Like, ain't nobody watching us. Whole time, my mom watching from somewhere. From, like, I don't know. Basically, that you're always being watched. Even if you're not being watched, you're being watched by God. So.
Yes, ma'am. And what were you going to say, Vanessa?
I didn't have anything to say. I'm listening. I didn't really have nothing to say yet.
Okay, so have you been through a situation that you can help? Really, I really want to reach out to the parents that have kids going to school right now. With the peer pressure and the things that's going on and the false sense of hope, that's where
okay,
I want to.
Yeah. Okay, I want to say, kids know more than what you think, so don't be afraid to have certain conversations with your children. Social media is going to tell, like, we have social media now. Since we have social media, they're going to hear it from another child. Even if your kid doesn't have access to it, they're talking about it at school. They're discussing things with their friends. And if your child has a phone, trust me, they know more than what you think. So I think that parents should stop being afraid to have certain conversations with their children and don't. Depending on age, you should sugarcoat, but just know that your child knows more than what you think. So I think that parents should be more open with how was your day today? How was school? What went on at school? You know what I'm saying? Or just getting more proactive within schools, because I wish that we would have did that more with DJ before it got too bad. But, like, you know, just being more in your children's life while they're at school and asking more detailed questions because, kids are just exposed to way more And I know what I was exposed to as a child, and I know it's 10 times what I was. Because I probably, like, what, my eighth grade is when, like, the internet came on phones. My eighth grade or seventh grade is when, like, we were able to have internet on our phones. So, like, I just know what I experienced, just the beginning of internet on the phones. And now it's years in. So I think that's my point, is just being more proactive and not being afraid to have certain conversations. Because that's one thing I did tell my mom when I got older, is that even though she's more so, like, when it comes up, she's not afraid to talk about it if it comes up. But I just wish that it was more like, I don't know. I really don't know. So she's, if it comes up, she's not afraid to talk about it when it's in the air. But I feel like if you could catch it before, but I know you don't really know where your child is at for real sometimes to talk about it. But it's, I don't know. I just wish, I don't know. Just, yeah, I feel like I'm going in circles. But, yeah, I think y'all get the point of what I'm
saying. You're not going in circles. You're pretty much reiterating that we have to get more involved. Well, get more involved. Don't be scared to ask questions. Don't be scared to have conversations with your kids. You know, at the dinner table, I mean, I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up. When the kids want to go upstairs and everybody's downstairs and they want, something happened, okay, what happened? Share. We want to know. You know, get involved. Ask questions. You know, it was a time where I would not let my kids go upstairs. If they had a, if something was wrong, we all going to cry right here. And as a matter of fact, I think DJ was the last one that I done that to. Something was on the TV, and I guess he thought about his brother, and he wanted to go upstairs. No, we're going to talk about it. Sit down here. And let's talk about how you're feeling. I mean, I felt the same thing. I won't say the same thing, but I felt, you know, something when I saw a scene. I forgot the scene, but I had him to come back downstairs, and we talked about it. He cried, I cried, and we sucked it up, and it was like, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with sharing your feelings in front of your kids. There's nothing wrong with asking your kids to express their feelings in front of you, you know, especially boys or young men. There's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with feeling your feelings. There's nothing wrong with not being okay. I mean, if you hunky-dory all the time, something is wrong. It's okay not to feel okay. So, yeah. JJ, did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Huh? Wait, me or DJ?
Or DJ. Or either or.
Like, based on what you said, like feelings and stuff?
Yeah. Okay, well, you don't have to make up anything. DJ, did you want to say anything about it?
No, ma'am.
No? It's pretty much what I said, right? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's okay. It's okay not to feel okay. And I encourage the parents, you know, we've been through so much tragedy in these last, what, 7 or 8 years, and you should know, I'm going to just use our family, for example, not to leave the kids alone for a long period of time. Okay, check on them. See how they doing. Knock on the door, you know, or leave the door ajar. You know, I just want to keep an eye on you, you know, for a while. And especially after my grandson passed. I didn't have access. Well, they were with their dad, but I would check on them, see how they're doing, you know, try to get them, you know, when I could on the weekends if they wasn't doing something. But these last couple of years since the coronavirus is really taking a toll on these kids, saying that I'm not sure how many kids have died that Vanessa knows in her school, who she graduated with, turn around. Another one of her classmates passed, either was killed in a car accident or commit suicide. We have to talk to these kids and find out where they are. We have to. The internet and everything else is raising our kids. And from all the suicides and all the stuff that's going on, it's like, what's really going on? How are we losing all of these kids to almost the exact same scenarios over and over, over and over, over and over? We have to. It's something that we have to do as parents. And when I say parents, I'm not talking about just your kids. I'm talking about like I was in the street with these kids throwing rocks, stoning this man in the street, in the middle of the street. He dodging cars trying to get across the street from running from them. I'm not just talking about just taking care of your kids. We have to reach those that are lost, that's raising themselves. Not just our four and no more. Do more than what we're doing. We have to. Encourage, you know, reach out. If it's not your child, or if you know the parent, if you know they need help, you know, or ask. Some people, you don't even have to ask. You see that they need help. Just help them without even asking. Well, yeah. I mean, we have to do better as a community, as a church, as just good abiding citizens. Just, you know, reaching out to the neighbors. I just want to just encourage everybody. Let's just do better. This is another school year, you know, and the kids they're lost. They really don't have a clue. And we're not doing nothing to even really help. We have to do better. We have to. But the false sense of hope.
So, let's make a little small comment. When we do right, when we do good, you know, God tends to bless us more. And he'll even bless you in your mess to sustain you to get to a better place. But I was thinking about me and my wife's disciplinary actions and how we differ from one another, you know, until I get highly upset. But on any normal day, she's a disciplinarian that would have you to put your hand on the table and cut off one finger at a time until you tell the truth. I'm the person that, as she cutting one finger, I'll sew that other finger on and try to make it right. So it's a balance between me and my wife as far as disciplinary measures or situations. And my kids and grandkids know that, that when she on them hard, I mean, they can backdoor her with me to a certain extent. A lot of what they go through every day, but my wife is. So they'll turn around and ask me for money. I'll just send it right to them. And my wife will come home, and I'll tell her, because we share everything. You know, I sent so-and-so, you know, this amount of money. Why you do that? You don't know. Well, I don't know, baby. I don't know what y'all been through, what they going through. I just know they asked. And I want to example that with God, which he knows everything, but in the same time frame, he'll still bless you to sustain you so you won't turn even more in a certain direction to try to get your attention, to keep you as the apple of his eye. So I try to bless my kids and grandkids as much as I can if they got it. And they're older now, and it ain't just like I'm throwing money to them now. When they text me or call me, hey, Daddy, can you do this? Immediately, I send it to them. Because what I don't want and what I've always done when my boys were even younger, if they needed something, I provided it because I didn't want them to go the wrong avenue to try to get it. Because I know how I was growing up, and I don't want them to have to go that route. So what I try to do is save them time and effort and going through something that they can do something. Because when we're going through something, we can't produce nothing. When we're going through something, we can't think positively, but we're thinking about, oh, woe is me. So I try to prevent that because I know how it feels to be stagnated and thinking, oh, woe is me. What am I going to do now because I'm in a certain situation? And I could turn left and right. So I try to prevent that. Yes, I let them learn to go through things, certain things to get to the next level or to be sustainable or find out what sustainment is in their life. But I try to prevent the hacking. I try to prevent the brokering. I try to prevent the stealing and the mugging and the shooting. I try to prevent all that. I've been through that. So, yeah, me and my wife are at odds, but we had a positive. So she's a disciplinary. I'm the one that makes it up. I got all the Band-Aids, and all the Band-Aids I throw out there, you know, some of them come back with still blood on them when my wife had to, you know, ask me about why I did this, that, and the other. To make somebody happy, especially my kids and grandkids. And I do want to mention, I'll let y'all have the rest of the show. Jada, my granddaughter Jada and my granddaughter Sheila got saved and both together in one night when they were younger. And I want to express this to the adults. Yeah, you may have been baptized when you was a kid, but you didn't really get the significance of it. And you still don't right now if you had got rebaptized and understanding why you're getting baptized. So it surprised me that she got baptized again, but it didn't. But I'm glad that she did because she has a better understanding now of who Jesus is and what he can provide for her life. So I just wanted to say that. I'm back silent. I'm good. Thank you, team.
Well, I just wanted to say real quick, about the baptism. The baptism, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say this. For a person to get baptized is not for you to be saved. It's because you are saved. And it's just it's showing the world that you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You go down and they submerge you in the water, as the symbolizing the graves and bringing you back up where Jesus had risen. For the saved and for you to get saved is that you believe in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Because a lot of people, well, anyway, okay. Well, yeah. I just wanted to throw that in there. But my grandkids, you know, we're in a good space right now. Just trying to live right, trying to love right, trying to treat everybody right. Vanessa, did you have Proverbs, the beginning of in the NIV version, chapter 22, 1 through 6? This is where we
22:1-6. Okay, I have NIRV. Okay, it says you should want a good name more than you want great riches. To be highly respected
and
better.
Repeat it and talk. You kind of muffled.
You should want a good name more than you want great riches. To be highly respected is better than having silver or gold. The Lord made rich people and poor people. That's what they have in common. Wise people see danger and go to a safe place, but childish people keep going and suffer for it. Being humble comes from having respect for the Lord. This will bring you wealth and honor in life. Thorns and traps lie in the path of evil people, but those who value their lives stay far away from them. Start children off on the right path. And even when they are old, they will not turn away from it.
Amen. Thank you, ma'am. What she's saying is having a good name I'd rather have a good name than riches. The favor of God is better than riches. Okay? It's better than riches. Because favor can bring riches. If that's what you desire. Okay? Because that also scripture, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But I would rather have a good name. And my kids will tell you, I can go anywhere in Snellville, Lawrenceville, Loganville. Everybody knows Gigi. Everybody knows Gigi. And guess what? Everybody that knows Gigi has something good to say about it. And this is my city. These are my cities that I'm in all day, every day. They see me on the streets. They see me giving. They see me doing. They see me. And my kids come to me all the time. I ran into the lady at such and such. Why everybody know you? Because I'm always everywhere doing things for people and helping people and doing what God ordained me to do. Okay, this false sense of hope that everybody is given, you know, with all of it, with stuff, all that stuff, is what can you do with it? You can't go take it to heaven with you. You ain't going to die with it. Why are we gathering so much stuff and don't, you know, want to help nobody? The false hope is the world is given. False hope is getting when you. No. The false sense of hope, you know, with these, I mean, the kids and these internet and, you know, don't like me. If they are on the internet, if I make a post, if they don't get so many likes, what? Who cares if they don't like it? It only takes but one person to see your post. The false sense of hope of this world is given to our kids. What are we showing them? What are we, you know, displaying in front of them? Trying to get all we can and can't all we get? No. God is not pleased with a lot of things that's going on. And you wonder why all these viruses keep popping up. Turn from the wicked ways, then he'll heal the land. Okay, we have to do better. We have to. I'm not saying I'm perfect. My family is far from perfect, but I put on. I have put something on the group chat. Hold on. I put something on the internet. Why God picked the least likely to do great things? I texted that earlier today. To my kids, to my husband. Why does God pick the least likely to do great things? Because they don't think they got it all together. They just doing going the day to day routine, just doing what they do, and being the best at what they do, even though it seems small to the world. I can seem small to the world. As long as I'm on God's agenda, I ain't got to be on nobody's program. I don't have to go to nobody's car. I don't have to do anything but do what I'm doing. It's helping who I can help. Who have you helped lately? Some hope that everybody, you know, it's a false sense of hope to just want, and not give and not do. It's okay. Not to have right now. Maybe you can't handle it. It's not saying that you're not gonna get the desires of your heart, but seek ye first. Seek the kingdom of heaven. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because the more you seek him, you're not even gonna want all those things. Your desires are gonna change. I promise you, I've been there. Your desires will change if you seek him first. and it's righteousness. This is right living. Other people. Follow him. Love. Everything in place. They don't have the latest whatever. They depressed. They don't want to go to school. What? But we're not teaching them about teaching them morals. How to treat others. How to eat at a dinner table. Let's go back to the basics. How to set a table. Where your forks go? Spoons go? What does a soup spoon look like? I mean, all of this false sense of hope, we need to get it together. Anyway, anybody else have anything else to say? Because we're not going to drag it on if y'all don't y'all don't have anything else to say. DJ?
Ma'am.
Okay.
No, not really. I mean, just...
Well, that will continue.
Mm-hmm.
That
I don't know. Because we're more so talking about... Oh, God.
That's big.
Yeah.
Say it again.
I was saying that... Because I don't know if there's any kids listening. Like, I don't know if celebrity was more so talking to adults. But if there is...
I'm listening.
You said I'm listening? Okay. But, yeah, everybody's past is different. And I know sometimes, even with myself, social media can take a toll as far as how you're saying a false sense of hope or, like, this person has this, I'm not here, or you're supposed to, this is what my life is supposed to look like at my age just because this is what somebody else has, or that it's all about jewelry and cars and riches and worldly things. But I'm not going to say, it's nothing wrong with, you know, having that, but that's not what it's all about. People still cry at night with all that jewelry on. People still have, you know, mental breakdowns. People still have, everybody has issues of their own. So don't think that a new car is going to fix all your problems or a new house or a different family or anything. You know, everybody's situation is different. Can y'all mute? Somebody's phone is unmuted. But, yeah, everybody's situation is different. So just be grateful for what you have and try your best to, you know, I won't say work with what you got like it's just nothing, but it's that's what you got. So if you want something different, work with what you got.
Yeah,
like if you want something
give
different,
you more if you don't even appreciate what you have. You don't even appreciate what you have. The same thing I tell y'all.
Yeah, so just try to just be grateful for what you have in your life. You're the main character in your own life, and nobody can beat you being yourself. So, you know, try to be the best you, and yeah. Be grateful.
And a reality check. How many celebrities with all this money then committed suicide? The country singer.
Or even with.
Wynonna Judd. Just. Go ahead.
That's a true statement. That's what I was saying, that, like, you still go, like, they still can go home and cry at night with that $200,000 necklace on. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's situation is different. Also, you'll be surprised that some people are renting that necklace. They're, or it's fake. Or it's pawned. Or, like everything. The internet is what you portray it to be. So, like, they could have literally, like, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean that they paid all that money to go get that thing. No, there's a thing. There's so many payment plans nowadays. Like, I'm just saying that everything's good and gold, so just be grateful for what you have. And also, you never know what somebody has to do to get that or to keep it up. So just be grateful.
Amen. Amen. Where's Destiny? Put Destiny on the phone so she can hear my voice.
Go.
Hey, what? Mommy.
She said she just whistled, though.
Okay, so what I want to say is Destiny, my youngest grandchild, every day we have FaceTime with the family and kids. We have a family text message thread. But when I don't get on there FaceTime all the time because I'm working, but when I do, and I know Destiny's on there, and I'll say, hey, Destiny, hey, sweetie. She'll say, Papa. And she'll just break up all their communications. And then when somebody else say, hey, Destiny, she'll say, hey. So what I look for in my kids and my grandkids is that excitement when they hear my voice or see me. And it means a lot to me that happens. And because I'm not, it kind of gives me a sense of feeling that I'm not doing wrong by them, that I excite them when I'm in their presence or on FaceTime or whatever. So train up a child in the way they should go. So that's the subject tonight. It's all about what you know and passing it down. It's all about what you can put in thinking to receive. It's all about trying to help others, especially your family, to stay good on a foundation that they can spring from. And I always told my kids, do what you have to do now so you can do what you want to do later. And whatever you fail at, I got you, because you're trying. And even though you're succeeding, I'll still bless you. So we have to be careful with our kids, our grandkids. We have to be careful with kids we, you know, come about we don't even know. To try to provide a positive situation or reaction that you're not hindering a child of God. See? And that's the worst thing you can do is hinder a child or make a child trip trying to get somewhere. God looks down on that. Right? So even my own family, when I speak to them, when I chat with them, when I FaceTime with them, if I'm acknowledged, not looking for it, but if I am, it makes me feel so much better that at least I'm trying. So we have to look about how we're living. We have to look at what we're doing. We have to look at what we're imitating. Even when we drive in our cars, you got folks drinking in their cars. You got folks no seatbelt on. You got folks smoking cigarettes, tossing them out the window. So what our child sees is what they're going to try to do. So the best environment is a positive environment. So when they do fail, when they do stray away, their foundation is set that they can find it and stand on it. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Train up a child in the way they should go. We have to be careful. And I'm so very proud of all my kids. I got my youngest son, who just got out of prison, 2 years ago. He's doing his own thing right now, and a lot of things I'm not approving of, but he has a foundation that if he called me, I got him. Like I called God without even saying anything to God in my younger age, and he had me. I can never turn anybody away because God never turned me away. We have to keep that in our minds and stop being so mad at people and our kids that we can't help them still. Even if they're in a bad position, we have to keep that in mind. Because God forgave you, and you have to forgive others. And if we love God the way he loved us, first of all, and we're saved, we have to show that love to his kids and his people. We have to do that. That's one of the outputs of your salvation. That believing in the name of Jesus Christ and loving God for who he is, you have to show that love one to another. Therefore, you are my disciples. That's what God said. Destiny and my family all hate it. And when I bust right in and say, hey, mommy, and she'll just bust everything up and say, hey, papa, they hate that. But that's what I look for. That encourages me. That keeps me going. My kids are older now. So that kind of enthusiasm is not in them, but it is in my youngest granddaughter. That's all I got.
I like when you said, love God for who he is. and I'm going to add something to it, not what he can do for you. Okay? Love God for who he is, not for what he can do for you. Because a lot of people love God because he take care of us. He takes care of us. But what are you doing for him? Are we doing things knowing that he's going to take care of us? Do we love him? No, we love him because of who he is and what he's done for us on that cross. For our sins, for all our mess, for all our dirt that we've done. That's that unconditional love. I don't need a reason for him to love. He just loved me because he's God. Jesus Christ died for each and every one of our sins. Each and every one of our sins. And you're not too low that he can't reach down and get you. And you ain't too high that he can't knock you off and bring you down to reality. Anybody else have anything else to say before we close out?
No, ma'am.
Well, thank y'all.
Wait, Asha has one thing to say.
Okay,
hey, it's me again, Asha Zan. So what my mom said about, like, train up a child in the way that they shall go, so when they get older, they shall not depart from it. That's literally the verse that I base me and Destiny's relationship off of. Because me growing up, I had my own ways. I was taught everything. I was trained up, but I got off of my training wheels. And I don't want her to go in that same direction. So train up a child, yeah, with the Bible too, but also with the way that you want your child not to be, because your child's going to be their own person, but, you know, whatever, like, in my situation, generational curses that I want to break. That's how I train up my child too. You know, communication. Instead of going for a pop, I can't even count the number of times I've popped Destiny this year. It's not even like that, you know. Instead of a pop, you know, explain why did you do that? What made you want to do that? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So you said,
hey,
what you said. You don't. Go ahead, Tank.
So that makes a lot of sense to me. It really, really does. Because your mom, my wife, gets on me about babying y'all, right? And trying to do for y'all and trying to put y'all in a better position than the position you're thinking of, but you decide to call Dad and say, Dad, can you do this? Can you help me here? That's what I try to do, to try to prevent situations where you'll get roughed up in. Look out for you so you don't have to experience certain things. And what you said is very, very important as a parent, that for Destiny, you want to try to prevent her from going through certain things and provide in that space and time. She will still experience situations, but you want to lessen the situations. And that's me, 100%. Keep that in mind. Some things that you know are not going to really hurt her, let her go through them. Certain things you think can turn out very detrimental, prevent them. That's me. That's how I was or is with all of you, right? I've been through it. I've experienced it. The outcomes were not good. But through it all, God still kept me. And I can't promise that for y'all, because we all work individually under the hand of God. And what he may do for me, he might not do for others. But me physically living on this earth, I want to prevent certain situations. And I thank you for saying that about your daughter, to prevent certain situations that she can grow up with less situations and have more graduations.
Amen. And I want to say this. All jokes aside, I am so proud of baby girl, because she did something that I've never done and never thought about doing, and that's walking to the bus stop with your child and praying before they get on the bus. That's something I never done and never thought about doing. I let y'all out there, though. Bye. See y'all. I didn't already pray before y'all left. But for you to walk your child out to the bus stop and pray with her, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you because I never would have thought about doing that. Never would have thought about doing that. And I am so proud of you. And not only that, just the communication that you have with your child. And I will admit, I what's to talk about? You did it. I don't want to know why you did it. You don't think about why you did it after this butt whooping. But I thank God for the communication that you have with your child. Something that I admit I did not have because I'm not a talker. I'm a doer. Okay? But I'm proud of you. Keep the communication open with your daughter. Keep praying together. And I love you. I'm so proud. You're doing more as a young parent than a lot of these 50 and 40-year-old parents not even doing. And I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. I am. And I love you. I love all y'all. Well, I'm especially proud of you right now, Aja, for doing what I didn't do. Each generation should get better and better. And you're doing it. You're doing it, and I'm proud of you. Love you. Anybody else have anything to say before we close out? Nobody? Okay. Well, that will end our Royal Blues broadcast on tonight. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Oliver and Lady Keisha Oliver, for having us on. And I am going to pray. Or anybody want to pray us out? Or Jada, you want to pray us out?
Yes, ma'am. I want to pray.
Okay.
Okay.
Jada,
yes,
go ahead,
ma'am.
And pray us out.
Okay. I have this, Father. I thank you for waking us up. I thank you for allowing us to have another day with our family, God, just enjoying the moment with everybody and just the little moments and, like, just everything. Like, we could have asked God for anything else and nothing better. And I repent in all of our sins and my sins, God. And I just pray that after we get off the phone, we all have a good rest. And I just pray that tomorrow will be even more greater and, like, more better day. But not saying today was a bad day, but I'm just saying. And I pray for my dad to get on his flight safely in Nani and to come back safe and had a good time. And I just thank God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, honey.
Hey.
That was.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen.
End our broadcast.
All right. I appreciate y'all, team. Y'all did a great job tonight. I'm proud of each and every one of you. But I'm especially proud of my wife and who she is and what she is. So great job, guys. Great job. So in Jesus' name, amen. Hi. And good night.
Amen.
Amen.